If your vibe is the earlier the better, Lowe's early Black Friday deals are a no-brainer. Get up to 35% off select major appliances, and rewards members get free delivery, haul-away, basic installation, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 11/4. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. LG member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host. We're very pleased to be welcoming Captain James Fennell, United States Navy retired intelligence officer. He is in Europe looking at the globe. Jim, I begin with a note that we're told that Article 4 of the NATO treaty has been invoked, meaning a gathering of eagles to discuss what we have very incompletely right now, fog of war, an incursion by Russian drones into Polish airspace, Poland scrambling and responding. The leader of Poland, Mr. Tusk, saying this is the worst crisis he's faced so far. Article 4 isn't much used unless there's something serious, and the fact that they invoked it means it is. Your first thought about the Navy. I'm unfamiliar with the U.S. Navy's commitment to NATO. In an event like this, do they start moving ships or just have overnight meetings in Washington? Good evening to you, Jim.
Good evening, Gordon. Well, in response to what happened last night, I mean, you have an ongoing major exercise between the Russians and the Belarus called Zapad. The Polish closed the border, and then all of a sudden last night we have reports of 19 drones flying into Poland. The Poles react. They're, as you mentioned, they're calling for Article 4 today for NATO to get together and talk. That's what Article 4 is. It's one of the shortest articles in the NATO charter. So they want to talk about this potential threat to a NATO member. They say it's not a stepping stone to Article 5, but clearly there's an implication there that if you're going to talk about one NATO member being threatened, then all other NATO members would be threatened. And the U.S. Navy's role as part of that would be to keep their platforms on alert, look for Russian activity in the maritime domain of the Black Sea and the Mediterranean and the other areas of NATO waters in the North Sea Fleet in that area. So the Navy will be on alert. No action would be taken necessarily. The real question is what was Russia doing? Why would this happen? It looks like it was a test of Polish defense, NATO reaction, in addition to, you know, attacks on Ukraine that were probably part of this as well, because it looks like the drones went into Ukraine as part of an attack into Western Ukraine. These drones were essentially sumps to draw air defense forces from Ukraine as other striking forces could get through the air defenses as they were attacking these drones. So
Russia has an ally in the People's Republic of China. You have an excellent piece at the U.S. Navy Institute, Naval Institute publication, History of Chinese Aggression Against the Philippines. After reading it, Jim, I'm convinced there's a plan afoot. What do we know about the Chinese intentions towards the Philippines, given that they are part of the hostility you just mentioned in Poland? Good evening.
Good evening, John and Gordon. Well, regarding the Philippines and the South China Sea and China's intentions, what occurred at the end of August where these Chinese Navy destroyer was chasing, along with the Chinese Coast Guard cutter, a Philippine Coast Guard vessel, chasing it, trying to chase it out of Scarborough Shoal, actually drove it closer. That event occurred, a serious major collision, demonstrated China's intent to essentially take possession of Scarborough Shoal and not allow the Filipinos to have any access to it, and their willingness to use increasing levels of military force. This happened the first time back in 2012 when they actually took Scarborough Shoal from the Philippines without firing a shot under the Obama administration and the cognizance of Secretary Clinton and former Asia Pacific State Department official Kirk Campbell, who allowed China to take possession from the Philippines, our treaty ally. Now, in the course of last night, the Chinese state government came out and said that they've declared Scarborough Shoal is a nature reserve. This is a political warfare move now that will essentially tell the Filipinos, hey, if you want to, you know, do anything in there, you have to get our permission because it's now a nature reserve. And if you go in there without asking for our permission, we will be allowed under our laws to use force to either drive you out or sink you. That's, I think, the implication there. Doesn't say that explicitly in this state government announcement, but that's certainly the implication that the Chinese government has given to the Filipinos here in the last 24 hours. So they're escalating both military actions, as we saw at the end of August, where they were for the first time using the PLA Navy, gray hulls, warships, to chase down Coast Guard cutters. And now we have this escalation in the political warfare arena to drive the Philippines out of their own waters. And again, for everybody's cognizance, Scarborough Shoal is less than 140 nautical miles from Manila. So it's well within their exclusive economic zone. It's over 500 miles, 600 miles from mainland China. So the idea that the Scarborough Shoal is part of China's waters is absolutely a farce and is rejected by the Permanent Court of Arbitration legally in The Hague in 2016.
Gordon, you have a question for Jim.
Jim, I suppose it would be nice to know if Moscow and Beijing are coordinating their actions. But I suppose ultimately it doesn't matter, because what we are seeing, the Russians lighting up Europe and the Chinese lighting up the South China Sea. And it would appear that, certainly the United States lost the initiative, and that goes back into the Biden administration. But the point now is that the Trump administration has ideas about, in their national defense strategy, at least as reported, to pull back and not confront China and Russia. But it would seem that the Chinese and Russians are going to force the United States to do that. What are your view about, in general, this idea of pulling back into the Western Hemisphere? And is it feasible at a time like this?
Well, Gornay, obviously, when these reports came out, I think they came out in Politico and some other reporting suggesting that the new draft national defense strategy was going to pull forces out of Asia to go to the southern border. Obviously, that caught my attention, just like you, and raised some concern. But the more we go along, the more we realize that we're not sure how true that is to the extent of what the shifting would be. If it's ground forces out of the Korean Peninsula, ground forces out of Japan, that's one thing. But on the other hand, we have this big announcement here in this last day or two about the new big naval facility that's being built up at Subic Bay. So I get the sense that we're seeing a reordering of priorities. And if it's a reordering to focus us on maritime dominance to be able to deter and then defeat the PRC in any kind of naval invasion of Taiwan or the Philippines or of Japan, that's of concern. I mean, to me, that's a prioritization that has long been overdue. The concern, obviously, is what about the peninsula? We just saw Kim Jong-un in Beijing. You asked about coordination between Xi and Putin. Well, we also saw them in Beijing last week. So they are, no question about it, coordinating. Kim Jong-un has sent his own forces into the Ukraine. He'll probably send more. Who knows what he'll try to do with the South right now. They've got a sympathetic ear in Seoul, so they may not be so overtly threatening. But we need to be very, very careful, as they say in the carpentry world, measure twice, cut once.
Jim, the concern that anybody could have arriving at this is taking advantage of disorder. The Financial Times has the word polycrisis. Too many fires to know which one you should start with. I mentioned the polycrisis in Asia is that there's a government now fallen in Tokyo for new elections. There's a new government in Seoul that does not look unsympathetic to Beijing. There's pending elections in the Philippines. I could go on. The new election in Canberra left a prime minister who's sympathetic to Beijing at the very least. Are we describing a situation that China is ready to take advantage of by pulling the trigger?
It sure seems so, Gordon. It seems that all the pieces are, the plates are spinning and the actions are happening that would cause a government that's already been, you know, we walked away from the two major theater war national defense strategy over 20 years ago when I was a young officer. And we have been in, in my opinion, a decline towards this kind of great power responsibility. And I get it that we don't want to be involved with endless wars. But the fact of the matter is, if we're going to try to calm down a war in Ukraine, a war that could flash in the Middle East, and then deal with the China that you've just described, we're going to need more force structure. And we've got $1 trillion going into the National Defense Authorization, but I'm not sure that it's earmarked and prioritized for the kinds of deterrent activities that we really need and the capabilities that we need to deal with this shock to the system.
Your piece at the U.S. Naval Institute is very helpful to understand the range of Chinese activity against the Philippines over many years. Jim Fennell, Captain Jim Fennell, United States Navy retired intelligence officer, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.